السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In turn, I would like to thank Dr. Ali Salman and ILN team for the invitation, and I wish the great success for this conference. My presentation will focus, as mentioned on the slide, about market economy from Islamic perspective. The main message which I want to share and discuss with you for this presentation is how Islamic countries can developing or formulating a new development mode who combines Islamic market regulation and social specificities for the countries and the Sharia regulator or Sharia rules or Sharia controls. Some key question: what do you mean by development mode, and what are the existing development mode today in the world? Can the Islamic economy provide an efficient development mode for Islamic countries? And what are the outlines of this mode in terms of directive, orientations, and policies? I will try to discuss this question, the answer for this question, through the following points. The first point, it's as an introduction, is about the question, the relationship between the question of the Renaissance and the question of development. The question of the Renaissance, which asked by some scholars last century, it's still here, still waiting for the answer from the Islamic countries. The second point, the existing development mode today in the world. And the third point, the Islamic market economy mode in terms of directives, directions, and policies. And I will conclude by the prospects of the Islamic market economy. So, the question of Renaissance, why, refers to the question of development, how. Why are others making progress while the Muslims still behind? This is the question of Renaissance. Because Muslim world did not succeed in formulating a particular development mode appropriated to their societies and cultural specificities. How do we answer the question about development? Through a new development mode different from the existing mode, which did not achieve any development or growth. Yesterday we started a very interesting debate about the relationship between liberalism and democracy, and liberalism and economy market. So the question is there. I think the main point is how we can development mode who respected the specificities of the Islamic country. The market economy is not appropriate to capitalism. And this is the important point. The market economy is an Islamic concept. Is not a private property of capitalism, after being marginalized by socialism. The market economy is in reality an Islamic concept because the Islamic economy is based in its essence on the market system, the market of Al-Madina, established by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a free market, a really free market, disciplined by the Sharia rules. Two important approaches, modern approaches, about this relationship between the ethical and the moral and the economy. The first one, it's from Amartya Sen, his approach of moral economy. In his book on ethics and economics, 1998. His approach is welfare economics can be enriched by paying more attention to these two ethics and moral principle. The second one, Edmund Phelps, is American economist. He wrote a book titled The Good Life and the Good Economy. In Arabic word, الحياة الطيبة والاقتصاد الطيب. 2009, his approach is about the role of cultural and ethical factors in raising growth rates. What do we mean by development mode? The development mode is neither an economic program nor an economic plan, or also package of reforms. Rather, it's a set of strategic axes that must be followed in order to achieve the economic and social development of a country. It also the reference framework that is resorted to in order to define strategic directions and major orientations within which fundamental reforms are formulated and general policies are drawn up to achieve the economic and social goals. What do you mean by development mode? So the development mode equal directives plus orientations plus policies. Some lessons learned from the last crisis, 2008. Many books about this crisis, 2008, and the first lesson is to pay attention to human economics, to move the economic from the existing situation to more human economics. The second one is to pay attention to the real economy, which is asking about food security and health security particularly. The interest rate system fails to allocate resources and manage economic activities. The importance of the non-profit sector, the social solidarity sectors, and the need to search for alternative financial instrument, musharaka financing or sharing financing, like crowdfunding, Islamic financial products like sukuk or Islamic products, banking products. Many scholars, experts, and decision makers are calling for a radical review of the paradigms and the rules of the system, as well as the structural reform of institution. So liberalism paradigm is not fixed. They need to be reviewed and Cassie, yes. But, for example, Paul Krugman, his Nobel Prize, calls on Western economics who failed to predict the last crisis to review their theories and rebuild the science of economics again. Many questions are currently being raised about post-capitalism and post-liberalism and the future of the world after that. Many voices also are praising the principle of Islamic economics and finance and demanding that they can be used to overcome the current crisis. For example, William Buter, British economist, Why Economists Should Love Islamic Finance, 2015. Joseph Stiglitz, The World Should Heed the Principle of Islamic Finance. Olivier Pastret, Could Islamic Finance Be a Solution of the Crisis? So the concept of the Islamic market economy means, at the end, the system within which economic decisions are taken in terms of setting prices, allocating resources, as well as drawing directions and policies in accordance with market rules and mechanism within the framework of the maqasid al-sharia, the purpose of sharia, and the controls of sharia also. So the market received a special attention from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it was among the prophetic achievements since the first day of the establishment of the state of Al-Madinah. So when the Prophet arrived to Medina the first day, he did four things. The main things is the mosque, build the mosque, the solidarity mu'akhat between Muhajirin and Ansar, and the constitution Sahifa, and the fourth was the market. So the Prophet ﷺ, he paid attention for the market since the first day. And he made sure to supervise the marketplace set, because the marketplace was in a city of group, Jewish group, Bani Qaynuqa. So he decided, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to establish a market, special market for Islam in the center of Al-Madinah. And he said, he gave some indications, some rules. He announced three important hadith. These hadith is like the guidelines of the market, Islamic market, established by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first hadith, very important, is about taxes. The second one is about pricing, and the third one is about exchange. So about taxes, he said, "This is your market. Nothing in it should be diminished, and no tax should be imposed on its customers. هذا سوقكم فلا ينتقصن منه ولا يضربن عليه خراج." This is meaning that it is a free market, open market, and wide market for all exchanges. This is the general rule, but there are some exception, of course, for each general rule, there is usually some exceptions. About pricing settings, the price of the of good, when Sahaba came to Prophet ﷺ and asked him to set the price for them because prices were very high at this moment. So he said, Allah is the one who fixes prices. Inna Allah huwa al-musa'ar. But usually there are some exceptions for the pricing, and fuqaha scholars discussed this point and clarified some details. And the main hadith is the third one, is about exchange commodities. If the famous hadith six ribawi commodities, six ribawi commodities because the Prophet ﷺ, he fixed the rules, the main rules for exchange, as exchange is the main factor for development and the main factor for the wealth creation. So if we promote the exchange, we can create the wealth and you can create development also. So this hadith, الذهب بالذهب والفضة بالفضة والبر بالبر والشعير بالشعير والتمر بالتمر والملح بالملح سواء بسواء مثلا بمثل يدا بيد فإن اختلفوا فبيعوا كما شئتم. So just 2 minutes. Okay. So this hadith is fixing three rules for fair exchange. The first one is about homogeneous exchange, no riba al-fadl, increase in quantity, and no riba al-nasa, increase in delay. The second one, adjacent swaps, exchange items as close together, no riba al-nasa, increase in delay. And the third one, exchange with different items, free transaction with one exception, don't postpone delivery and payment in the same times. This means sales debt for debt, which would be prohibited in the Islam. So the development mode Islamic development mode is based on two main pillars, establishing zakat and abolishing riba. The relationship between the profit sector and the non-profit sector, it's very important. And now some outlines about the development mode from an Islamic perspective. So as I said in the beginning, the development mode means directives plus orientations plus policies. So about directives, the first directive is Maqasid al-Sharia, purposes of Islamic economics, the strategic vision of the given country, the cultural and societal specificities, the lessons drawn from different success stories in the world, and the fundamentals of market economy from an Islamic perspective. The Maqasid of Islamic economy are six. I developed in my first book of Maqasid al-Iqtisad al-Islami, I'mar, sustainable development, security, amn, especially food security and health security, empowerment, tamkin, balance, tawazun, justice, adl, and sustainability, istidama. Strategic vision, this is very important to put in the development mode. Cultural and religious constants, social specificities of the given country, and lessons from successful development mode experiences, and fundamentals of the Islamic market economy, which means expanding sectors, expanding partnerships, and expanding source of financing, and searching for the development of alternative resources for financing the deficit through more indebtedness solutions. About orientations and trend, the role we have to define the role of the market, private sector, the role of the state, public sector, and the role of the society, social solidarity sectors. And about public policies, we have three kinds of policies, financial policies, monetary policies, and sectoral policies. As conclusion, the prospects of the Islamic market economy, today Islamic economics is an universal reality. It is a sector that managed more than $5 trillion in assets in 2020. Its related subjects are taught in 114 universities around the world. There is an increasing global demand for its sectors, especially Islamic finance. It contains important intellectual outputs that combine recent books with older knowledge. However, Islamic market economy has not reached global attention yet, but is on its way to get there slowly but steadily. And finally, thank you very much for your attention.